Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY for Community Conversations, our local show about current events and happenings around town. I'm today's host, Chris Bessler. And today we have a good show for you, in two parts, actually. Our first subject is the Sandpoint Community Resource Center, which earlier this year was designated as an Envision Center by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. We talk with the Resource Center's Executive Director, Lenis Jelinek, and Board Chair Denise Stewart about what this means for their group and actually a whole constellation of local nonprofit groups that stand to benefit from this new national program. And then in the second segment of today's show, our KRFY host Jim Healy explores an upcoming event, the Art is Theater Auditions, coming this Saturday, April 24th. Art is Theater is a unique concept that will feature original plays inspired by the works of local artists, a sort of combo platter of the arts, if you will. Jim talks with playwright and director Teresa Pesci and Panada Theater's interim chair, Keely Gray. One note, we are recording these community conversation shows via Zoom, and we can hit technical difficulties on occasion. You'll hear that today when we temporarily lose Lenis during our talk about the Community Resource Center. But don't fear, as you'll hear, she does get back into the conversation. So with that much of an introduction, let's get going with today's talks. We're speaking now with two of the folks with the Sandpoint Community Resource Center, Executive Director Lenis Jelinek and Board Chair Denise Stewart. Lenis, good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
And Denise, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you both for taking time to speak with us today. So we're going to be talking about a big new development for the Sandpoint Community Resource Center. Its recent designation by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development as an Envision Center and what all that means. But to tell you what, before we get to that, for our listeners who aren't familiar with the Resource Center, let's start off with a bit of a historical perspective. What is the Sandpoint Community Resource Center and how did it get started?
I'll jump in on that one, Chris. 11 years ago, the Resource Center was started by two men with a cell phone, who discovered that there were resources available, but it was really difficult for people to connect to those resources. So hence the Sandpoint Community Resource Center got started. And I will give a shout out to our founders, Rich Cretall and Dave Peets, who had an amazing vision. And so for 11 years, we've been that. We've been a hub of resources. We don't actually give resources out from the center, but we do a very thorough assessment, and then we determine what are the next action steps that will help this person in crisis get on their feet again.
Okay, probably come back and talk about that a little bit more, but just for a bit of a personal aside, how did each of you get involved with the Sandpoint Community Resource Center? And Denise, why don't we start with you on that question?
I had a practice here in Newport as well as Sandpoint, and it was blessed enough to meet Becca Orchard, who at the time was on the SCRC board and asked if I would be interested in participating. And I fell in love with it. I love the ability to bridge between a need and a resource and the hope that it brings the community, and said absolutely, and jumped in with both feet and then the chair position. And so I guess this is my fourth year with the board, and I thoroughly enjoy it and just very grateful to be a part of it.
And when you say you have a practice, you're an attorney.
I am an attorney, yes.
Yeah. Lenis, same question to you. How did you get involved?
So a little more than 2 years ago, I too met Becca Orchard when I actually answered an ad for an office manager here. And after interviewing with the board and Becca over several days, we all determined that what SCRC really.
Oh no, we lost the audio to our listeners. Unfortunately, we had this problem earlier. Lenis's connection is going in and out, and we just lost her. So Denise, why don't you go ahead and tell us how Lenis came to be executive director.
Well, it was a slam dunk in hiring Lenis, honestly. We were asking for the world, and she she was it for us. We jumped in with her as well, both feet. And we wanted to take it from, there was just such a huge need. And she took us from being, you know, kind of making ends meet and going along to a huge, huge amount of growth and efficiency and everything else. So during Linus's tenure with us already, she's changed the complexion of SCRC and the availability of SCRC to the community. So I can't say enough great things about her. She's absolutely blessed to have her.
And, you know, we're conducting this interview by Zoom so we can see each other. And we can see
Linus.
And it's very, we're having this problem earlier. So I think we should push on and let Linus try to connect back up via another device.
Absolutely.
But Denise, you're going to be carrying the ball now.
All right.
And Linus can, if we can get Linus back on successfully, we will be able to circle back on some of these questions. So, you know, given the Sandpoint Community Resources Center, its history of doing good work around here, it has recently gained this new designation as an Envision Center. It's part of a U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development program. What is an Envision Center, Denise?
It's an amazing leap for us. It really takes, as of right now, we're a great tool, a great resource for telling people if there's a need to be able to tell them where the resources are and this and that. And in taking on the Envision Center, we're really going to be a hub for the resources in Sandpoint. We were able to secure a location out at the old Coldwater Creek building.
Yeah, in Kootenay. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's off beautiful. Of McGee Road. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're very excited about that. And to that end, we're also able to bring in a lot of people that offer the resources under the same roof. And so it's something where, you know, our hope is that not only can we send you to those resources, but you can literally walk 10 or 20 feet down the hallway and be able to meet those people as well. So rather than having to run to this place and make plans for that place and timing and everything, our whole goal with the Envision Center is to bring those resources together in a more convenient way, just making it that much more effective and usable. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I think there's a huge, when somebody's in need, it's a huge amount of effort to have to go out and find the resources and get plugged in. And it's overwhelming. And so the whole Envision Center is going to be set up in order to kind of lessen that burden of reaching the resources that are out there.
Okay. We're kind of juggling technology as we speak. We're trying to get Linus back on. And I don't know if she just tried to call me by my cell phone, but my cell phone just rang. I didn't pick it up in time. It was not her. Your new location is in Kootenay, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. in the old Coldwater Creek headquarters there.
Yeah.
So the idea is to gather other community organizations right there at that same location.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's a great opportunity for the other resources, the other nonprofits in the area as well, just to be able, their services will be, for lack of a better word, marketed more widely known just because of the synergy between all of them. I think meeting the needs of an individual, typically when somebody calls into us, maybe we have a single phone call, but that single phone call will elicit four or five needs. And to be able to have all of those needs met under one roof rather than having to go out and about. And definitely there will be, you know, occasion where you have to do that. But just to streamline that effort on behalf of the person who is in need of services, I think would be fantastic. And the more we can do for someone, the more that we can get them in a better position to help themselves and to be in a better position to live a life that they're hoping for and dreaming of. It just creates more opportunity for other people to do the same. And so if we can do that more effectively, even still with the Envision Center, I mean, how great would that be for the community just to have families not only getting some basic needs met, but spreading the news that other people can too. And just by doing that, raising the bar, raising the level of what's possible for the whole community.
So what are typically the kinds of needs that people might get in touch with you, with the resource center for?
Yeah, some of the greatest needs we need, I think, wouldn't shock you. Housing is huge. Transportation, huge. Obviously, food, electric, you know, utilities, things like this. Even just, you know, the ability to, you know, childcare and, you know, family services and all of the, just really anything. And it's interesting if people are able to call. We can kind of go through their story, and they may not even be aware of something that they have a need in this area, and it might be a tripping point for them. But if we can isolate or recognize that particular need and help them over that hurdle, you know, to get onto other things, that's a wonderful thing to be able to do. So those would probably be the biggest and most common things that people would call in about. And as Linda said, we don't actually offer those resources ourselves, but we definitely have the ability to contact people that do that, send them on their way. And then another nice thing too is that after somebody does call SCRC or starts to use our resources, we try to follow up with each and every one of them to make sure that they were serviced, or if it was helpful or not helpful, or if we can take them in another direction that might be more helpful. So it's not something where you're looking in a, you know, looking it up online or looking in a directory and it may or may not be a good fit. We really want every referral, every resource that we offer to be a good fit for that particular person.
So this might be a better question for Linus if we could get her connected, but how many other organizations do you refer people to? I mean, how big is the network that the Community Resource Center has basically put together at this point?
Yeah, we've got over, I think we're up to about 400, is it, Linus? Can you nod? 300, we're up over 300 now, which in every year we're adding names to that, and we're also trying to keep that database current. I think a really nice thing about that, too, is just the amount of effort that is made to make sure that those resources actually are current. And, you know, just by the nature of you know, life, our businesses change and our nonprofits change, and so some services that may or may not be available one year may be in a different position the next year. So trying to keep on top of what they're now offering is a large part of what we need to be doing, and so that when we are making a referral, it's not all for naught. When I first started back in 2017, we had a few less. So it is an ongoing effort to make sure that not only new people are added, but the ones that we have, their information about them are current. And the nice thing too, is there's some other services with SCRC. You know, we have a SPIN program, which COVID kind of set us back a little bit, but it's an opportunity for the nonprofits themselves to get together and talk about what they offer so that they're not overlapping services, or if somebody goes into another nonprofit, they can be referred to somebody else, and a really great networking tool. So if anybody out there is a part of a nonprofit, checking into SPIN would be a great resource. And then we've got the VIP, the volunteer program as well. Are you there, Linus?
Almost. Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you, Linus.
Yay, you made it.
Well, Denise, you're just carrying this so well. I can't add anything to this.
We suspect you probably can, but Denise is doing great.
Linus, did you want to chime in on that? I was just getting to like Volunteer Connect and all of those, all the different sides of SCRC. It's not just a referral resource.
Yeah, the Envision Center is going to be a place where people can still get help, get connected, and get informed. So Volunteer Connect, we built a platform, Chris, and we launched it in January 2020 and promptly kind of had to take it down in March because everyone lost their volunteers. And Volunteer Connect is almost like a speed dating site for nonprofits and volunteers. So we have over 50 nonprofits who have the availability to post almost like a job board and opportunities to volunteer with their organization. And then individual volunteers can go in and create a profile of what they're interested in, because we know the important thing when someone volunteers is to really find something that, that, you know, matches their passion. And because then it really is a value to the community to have a really great synergy between the volunteer and the organization. Absolutely. So we are actually relaunching Volunteer Connect at the moment, actually.
So if somebody is interested in contributing as a volunteer out in our community, they could go to your website. And is it there right now or is it coming soon?
It's going to come back up live soon. They can actually just call me or get a hold of us at the Resource Center. We are, volunteers are really just starting to come back out again, Chris, I think because things are opening back up and, we're seeing it across, other organizations as well. And, they can contact us directly, but the Get Connected button will soon be live again on the website. Our website designer is helping a parent with some health issues at the moment. So we're giving her some grace and mercy in this time of transition for all of us.
And we should mention that website is sandpointcommunityresource.com. And you mentioned your phone number. Do you want to give that again, Lennis?
It's 208-920-1840.
So if folks are listening and they're interested in contributing as a volunteer, try one of those methods of getting in touch. We were talking earlier about the types of help people in the community need, and Denise mentioned they go right down to the basics, housing, food, shelter. Are there numbers to quantify how big the need is in our community, Lennis? Like what is our poverty rate compared to the rest of the country? Is our need greater or lesser?
We're a little higher than the trend. I'll tell you the numbers that we go by are, something that United Way does across the country is a really extensive survey called the ALICE report. And that stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. So it's really the working poor. It's people who are working, but they're barely meeting basic needs. And this is a report that's done every 2 years because it is really an extensive report. The one we're working from right now only takes us through 2018, and it just came out. The number is an astounding 48% wow. of people who are either, and 16% of those people are in abject poverty already. The remaining 32% are living on an edge financially. So they're one unexpected expense away from a financial crisis. If the car breaks and you have to fix the car because you've got to keep your job, how do you pay the rent and the utility bills? So yeah. It really comes down to basic needs. And that's the whole purpose of the Envision Center, is to bring resources into a centralized location. So not only do we optimize resources, and any business person listening would understand that this is, it's just good business practice to optimize the resources that you have. And it also will allow us to collaborate, you know, as service providers to fill the gaps and take care of the overlaps and to really get people to self-sufficiency. And that's the whole purpose, is to get families, individuals to self-sufficiency so they're not living on that edge financially. Does that make sense?
It certainly does. And we really do seem to be caught in a conundrum here in our community where people have full-time jobs and they're still just barely getting by. And on the other hand, I know there are employers out there that are having trouble hiring people now. And it appears that the fact that our housing has shot up so much the last couple of years that people just can't make it, even if they're working a couple jobs, because the housing expense here is so much. I don't know how that, if your experience confirms that, Linus, but just today, there's a daycare center in town that is going to be closing. It's been around for years and years because they're struggling to get people to work there. And I know I've talked at least to the restaurants in town, which are struggling to find people. And in fact, they're actually cutting back their hours because they can't as sufficiently, man their hours. And I don't know what the answer here is, big picture, and I don't know that the resource center can prevail against market forces. But I just wonder, is your experience that you're hearing from your side of thing, where you're actually dealing with people with these needs, is it confirming that?
Chris, it does confirm it, and it also confirms the need for a centralized location to address, to address all of this going on. I've talked to probably the same restaurant owner that you did, and he's going into prime season and is going to have to close 2 days a week because he can't keep a kitchen crew, and he attributes it to unemployment, that those benefits have been extended through the end of September now. And it does confirm all of it. I mean, for low income housing, there's a 2 to 3 year wait. But entered this conversation with HUD to become an Envision Center, and I want to be really clear, HUD did not give us any funding. This is that it is a relationship of as an advocate. They are advocates for us in that they're going to bring programs and services to our community that are only available for underserved rural areas and only available through an Envision Center. So that was a big impetus for us because it opens us up to bring more programs to our area, but it did not come with, a large check from HUD, but it does open us up to new lanes of grants that we can apply for. We can apply for grants as a community, as an envisioned community. So, to have that strength in numbers, if you will, with nonprofits under one roof. But we need to come together as a community. We need the thought leaders around the table. And that was one thing that we had to do as part of this designation and part of our federal application was we had two different roundtable meetings with the HUD team from Seattle and Boise. And they wanted stakeholders around the table, like actual real people. And we did this during COVID. We got stakeholders around the table. We actually got 19 letters of support from major stakeholders like Panhandle Health, Bonner General, Department of Labor, Department of Health and Welfare. Inovia actually gave us a letter of support about how needed something like this was and how much it would energize. Inovia's thought it would energize all the nonprofits because 2020 was a hard year, with fundraisers canceled. The demand on services was so high. And, we've all come out, we're here, but we need to do this differently. We need to really come together and bring the thought leaders of the community together, bring business leaders together to address all those things that you mentioned.
Yeah, rather than a kind of a scattershot approach where somebody sees a need and they do good work to get a group together to address it. But are there places where we're overlapping? Are there places where we can reinforce what may already be going on? Along those lines, so you have a new location in Kootenay. Mm-hmm. And are you looking for other nonprofits that could locate there right next to you?
Yes, we are. We've got some letters of intent in the works. I do know that that's in our space. We've got 10,000 square feet. We've got room, Chris, for 7 other nonprofits to co-locate full-time. And we've also got room for up to 20 nonprofits who want to come maybe one day a week or every 2 weeks or once a month. For instance, Health and Welfare agreed that they would send somebody from Boise once a month when we get started. Department of Labor will have someone out there once a week. And they don't need a full-time spot in the Envision Center. So, yes, to answer your question. And also, I will tell you that 2 other nonprofits who I really can't say who they are, but they're, you know, vital to our community, are looking at separate spaces, separate buildings out there, because they see the importance of being together. And one thing that really, I'll tell you, we were fortunate enough to be the recipient of the 101 Women grant last year. And we did the grant proposal on doing a rural resource specialist. So it's a rural expansion. And we put a resource specialist 1 day a week in Clark Fork and in Priest River. And those resource specialists were located at the food banks there. Because think about it, people going to a food bank probably have more needs than just needing food. And it turned out to be a really great collaboration, which we will continue because those communities, you know, not everybody's going to come to Sandpoint to, you know, come and get help. But what it showed us was the synergy between the food bank and our services. So we are really hoping to get some great partnerships going. There's a lot of things in the work. There's a lot of negotiations going on right now. And all I can say is that I think this is going to turn out to be a wonderful hub for the community.
And so with the spots you have available, are there particular types of nonprofit groups you want to get in there?
Well, this is really exciting because the 4 pillars that we believe are foundational for self-sufficiency and what everything that we do at an Envision Center are going to fall in these, you know, 4 buckets, if you will, are economic empowerment, educational advancement, health and wellness, and character and leadership. So anything to do, we want it. So it could be maybe adult education through NIC. It maybe is apprenticeship programs through the Department of Labor. Anything for, you know, to empower someone financially, help them in an educational advancement, and anything to do with health and wellness, which could be recovery, which could be maybe diabetes control. And then character and leadership is where I'm going to be really looking to people in the community and people even moving to the community who have experience, mm-hmm. that maybe they can mentor a single mom starting a business. Maybe they could mentor a young couple, you know, in a job pursuit or job readiness, something like that. But there's a lot of talent here, and I think there's a lot of talent coming here. Mm-hmm. So we need to tap it.
This program is relatively new, the Envision Center program, but are there other communities that have started it, that have a head start that you can look at as kind of a model for how it can go?
Yeah, great. That's a great question. There are actually 90 Envision Centers in the United States, And we are the second in Idaho. So the St. Vincent de Paul's in Coeur d'Alene is an Envision Center. The Spokane Resource Center is an Envision Center. And I've been over there with my staff twice to spend some time over there with them. And their situation is a little bit different. They, of course, serve a larger population than we do, but the city of Spokane gave them a 40,000 square foot building of which to get the Envision Center started, and they did. But we've learned a lot from them, and there's only one other in the Northwest, and that's a tribe in Oregon. So we really feel like we're on the cutting edge, and I will just going to put it out there to all your listeners. This is my dream, and my big vision goal is that what we're doing here in Sandpoint, in really Bonner Boundary County, that this could become a blueprint for other underserved rural areas, that we come together as a community and we do it that well, that it becomes a blueprint.
Okay. Shoot high.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's great potential that exists here. And now it's a matter of the community coming together to realize that potential. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be out of time for too long here, but are there some other things, Linus or Denise, that you'd like to bring up?
I would just like to put out there, if there's anybody interested or anybody that has an idea or resource or skill set or time, especially if you're new to the community or just kind of emerging from this COVID isolation, I would reach out to SCRC, see if there's something that doesn't interest you or something you could offer, a way to get involved or connect a couple of people who have a need or other resources. It's just a great place to just touch base and see, you know, what's available and meet some really wonderful people, really wonderful people. And it feels good while you're at it to contribute like that.
Linus, anything you'd like to add?
Well, I would like to thank you, Chris, for your patience today and the technical difficulties. And I apologize for this herky-jerky start today. And Denise, I want to thank you as always. We have such an amazing team here, and we have such a committed and compassionate board of directors, which continues to grow. But Denise, as our board chair, you always impress me and amaze me of how you really ultimately are leading that part of this organization. So thank you.
Oh, and I think you're very generous. Honestly, Chris, Linus is great. We have a tremendous board. Everybody on the board is just a lot of energy, really, like Linus said, committed. And Linus is very generous. This is not a one person thing. Linus heads us all in the right direction and just keeps the energy and the momentum going. And I just, anybody, like I said, that would like to join or participate, please, this is a great group to, if not join our, you know, community, we can point you in the direction of other boards that might need help or other resources that might need it too. And Chris, thank you for the time today. This has been really fun.
Yeah.
And I want to say, so to get in touch, go to sandpointcommunityresource.com on the web, or you can call 208-920-1840. And I don't know if you take drop-ins at your office there, Linus, if people just want to see what's up.
Yep, we're still here in the old Columbia Bank building, and the Resource Center, where clients are welcome to come in, is Suite 101. And I'm located next door in Suite 103. And I'll warn you, if you stop by now, you're going to be greeted with boxes because we are moving.
Well, they could pitch in and carry a box or two.
There you go.
First come volunteer. On over help.
Okay. Well, again, Linus Jelinek and Denise Stewart with the Sandpoint Community Resource Center. Is the official title now Sandpoint Community Envision Center?
No, the official title, the DBA's been filed with the Secretary of State. It's Community Resource Envision Center.
Okay.
or CREC. We're going to try to shorten it. And our website that does work and it is forwarded right now is CRECIdaho.com.
Okay. All right. Multiple paths to you.
Lots of ways to get to us.
Okay. Well, again, Linus and Denise, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Linus.
Good morning and welcome to 88.5 KRFY Community Podcast. I'm Jim Healy, your host. And this morning, we're very fortunate to have two representatives from the arts community here in Sandpoint. Teresa Pesci, she is board member of the Canada Board, and she is also a playwright and an actor. Hello, Teresa.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you. And Keely Gray. Keely is the interim chair of the Canada Board. She is also very active with the Music Conservatory at Sandpoint, and she's also very active in the theater community. Good morning, Keely.
Good morning, everybody.
We'll begin with you, Teresa. This Saturday, there's posters up all over town. They're in front of the theater. It's been advertised on Facebook and in the Reader. The Art as Theater auditions, Saturday, 24th of April at 10 a.m. in the Canada Theater. Fill us in, please.
Well, Art as Theater is a series of 5 one acts, which I wrote. And each one act is inspired by a painting of one of our local artists. So for me, I've done this once before, and in 2010 with the works of Stephen Schultz, I wrote the play called Red Tape based on those. It was a wonderful success, and I have wanted to do it again ever since, and I finally am. So this is great. And we're doing it in conjunction with POAC, which I'm sure Keely will be talking about in a few minutes. Very excited about that. So it honors the artists and is a perfect match for Art Walk. And it puts the talents of this community together on the stage. It will also have original music by Dave Gunter. And I'm thrilled to have him on board with this, providing that for this grouping of talent on the stage.
And with the auditions coming up on Saturday at 10 a.m., what are you looking for, Teresa?
I am looking for people who show me the character in the flesh, not by doing a fantastic audition or a great cold read. They will come up on that stage and I will realize I'm looking at the character. I have a very slight visual on each character, but really I'm looking for an essence. And so the actors can relax. They can just get up on the stage and read a little bit and be who they are. I will know them when I see them. There'll be a chemistry that I'll feel.
For somebody who might not have ever done an audition before, I think of the Canada Theater. I get up on the stage and there's this vast auditorium. How many people will be there?
Well, that will be according to the seating at the time. Right now, I think the seating is, Keely, correct me if I'm wrong, is it about 150 people currently that we can seat? But that may vary in June. There might be more for safe seating.
Yes, currently we're at 150. But it is going to be discussed at our next board meeting. So we're basically going along with what the state recommends and how things are looking with the virus.
I'd like to go back to Teresa. You have 5 one-act plays. What's the range of time length of each play?
Well, they run from about 15 minutes to about 20 each.
Okay, and how many actors in each one, the range?
Well, there's a total of 22 actors if you count some scenes that have a couple little children in them. They are all adults, And they go into older age, some of them, about a balance of male and female. So I would say we need young people. We need two little boys, about seven. We need two teenage boys. And we need a cast that bridges from about 30 to 60. It's very open. If you are alive and are an actor and want to be in a one act, you should come out.
Okay. And this coincides with POAC's Art Walk 2021. You said that you did this about 10, 11 years ago, Teresa. What was the concept behind that when you first got the idea to do plays interfacing with paintings?
Well, I think it was a great idea, but it wasn't really mine. It just sort of came to be. It happened in reverse. I saw Stephen Schultz's paintings. They're magnificent. And they just begged to be interpreted. I don't know what he would call them. I don't know what name to give it, like surrealism. But they are very open to interpretation and a story. There was tape, a lot of tape in various portraits that he had done. And I took that concept of tape, and that became red tape, which is the stuff in the bureaucracy that holds us back. And it became a story of a young man who was held back by the emotional dynamic of his family from being able to love people without strings attached to it, just love them. So that's how that evolved. Then I realized that I based a play on a work of art. So I called it art displayed as theater, which is what the music is on anything you'll ever watch, any music, any play. That is that story. Displayed as music. I'm just displaying art in words and people on a page.
Excellent. Keely is having some technical difficulties. Are you still with us, dear?
I'm here, yes.
we thought we lost you for a moment. Can you talk a little bit about the Pondere Arts Council's Art Walk?
Well, I know that it is a valued tradition throughout the community every year, and it is something that I think really helps the community and our summer tourism. So it's kind of a staple in Sandpoint. And I know that POAC is really wonderful about working with other nonprofits and arts organizations to kind of build each other up. So I think this is a beautiful culmination of that. The Panada working with POAC as they do so well.
If I could fill in a little bit, Keely, I have interviewed over the years representatives from POAC. This is where local businesses, as many as 25, display the artwork by different artists in the area. And it's an opportunity for artists to have their work displayed. And this runs through it. The grand opening is in mid-June and it runs through mid-September, I think. Is that a fair representation, Keely?
I would say so, yes. And we're very excited because POAC will be using our lovely little theater lobby as the last stop during the art walk this year. So that's another real great benefit of doing this artist theater, is because the artists that are represented in Teresa's wonderful plays will be showcased at our lovely little theater throughout Art Walk.
Wonderful. I'm going to go back to Teresa. Teresa, somebody auditions and you give a thumbs up. What's next?
Well, what's next might be callbacks, but for some reason I sort of doubt that. I will be letting them know about a day or two after whether or not they have been cast.
And then that then begins the rehearsal process?
Yes, and the rehearsals are going to start on May 1st, and they will continue right up to, of course, the performance dates. And the performance dates will be on the second week of Art Walk. The first week of Art Walk is, of course, very much devoted to people seeing the art and touring the town. So the big event for the next week will be Art as Theater. That'll be the 25th, 6th, and 7th of June.
So what you're looking at when people audition are people who are going to be available and around through May and June.
Yes, and it's important for them to know, thank you for asking, that at first their rehearsals will just be once a week. This is a busy time for people. And their rehearsal will be once a week until it gets to the weeks of June 6th and June 13th and June 20th. Then it'll get busier and they need to know that. But for a while, it'll be a light rehearsal schedule.
So in other words, someone out there listening who might be interested, cancel all plans for travel or for anything like that until July 1st. And then you're free to roam. But so the actual plays will be performed June 25th, 26th, and 27th. But auditions are this Saturday, April 24th at 10 a.m. at the Panada Main Theater. What do you say to someone, Teresa, who I've never been on the stage and I'm just nervous as can be, but this is something that I want to do?
Oh, that's the most fun ever to be with someone like that. Oh, I love that. I go right alongside them and it's fun. We make it fun. Good grief, theater should be fun. Of course, we're nervous on opening night, but the rest of the time it should be fun. So that's what it's all about, being relaxed, finding what it's out to, embody a character on a stage. It's a marvelous experience. We need all the new actors and never acted and have acted for years. We need everybody.
So one more time, you're looking for two boys age 7?
Yes.
Two teenage boys?
Yes.
And then the other individuals are adults all the way until their 60s.
Yes, that is correct. And nobody has to memorize anything or bring anything. There'll be scenes provided for them.
Wonderful, wonderful. And Keely, will you be auditioning, my dear?
Oh man, I would be so tempted to if I didn't have my own event going up in early May. So you know, I've got a crazy schedule going on right now because what's really exciting is we're about to go into a summer, I think, filled with theater and art and wonderful things happening in Sandpoint. So it's an exciting time, but I will be in the audience with a big foam finger cheering on all of my fellow actors and applauding loudly.
Ah, wonderful. Anything in final that you want to say, Teresa, in closing?
Oh, I am looking forward to this so much. I hope everybody turns out and that when it comes June, that POARC will be very, very glad that they have participated with us in this. I hope it works fabulously for everybody and I hope it honors the artists because to me, that's one of the main points is to honor these artists.
One more time, auditions this Saturday, April 24th at 10 a.m. in the Panada Main Theater. This will be a tremendous opportunity to get up on stage to be cast in one of 5 Art as Theater one-act plays that coincides with POAC's Art Walk 2021. I want to thank both you, Teresa, and you, Keely, for taking time this morning.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY, community-supported radio for North Idaho. This has been Jim Healy, your host.